Hi again, everybody. We welcome you into ESP Media coverage of Molar Crusader Athletics. It is Molar Lacrosse Time, our weekly podcast. We are now in season, thank goodness, with the head coach, Sean McGinnis. And coach, got some games under your belt and very cool and very excited. Two wins. Very good.
Yeah, congratulations. It was a good weekend for us. Good start all the way around. Got a lot of kids on the field for some action. So, you know, overall, I thought we did fairly well for our first two games. You know, obviously, there's things that we need to start working on to make us a little better, you know, going into next weekend. But overall, we were pretty pleased with how everyone played, the energy and the effort, and getting two wins.
15-4, first game on Friday night against Milford. So let's get into that one a little bit. And I do have, you know, looking through, and I wasn't able to be to the games just yet. That changes this weekend. I'm very excited about that. But 15-4, see Brennan Sigurdsson with 7 goals. kind of picking up where he left off.
Yeah, he had a big night Friday night in his hometown of Milford. You know, it's gets to go back. It's where he grew up, where he grows up, and it was really good to see him break out in his senior year and have 7 goals.
Goals on 9 shots.
Yeah. So I mean, he didn't miss much, but he did really well. And we had, I think Dylan Warner had 2, right?
I'd see it as 1 right now. Theo Becker had 3. Yep. And Thomas Fratello had 2.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was a good night as far as moving the ball around. And, you know, that's the best part about our offense is, you know, we have great players in every spot. So, you know, even though you have a tremendous player like Brendan who's scoring 7 goals, you know, there's everything kind of evens out amongst everyone else. And there's going to be days where Brendan's going to have 2 goals and someone else is going to have 5 goals. So our offense is really balanced with our players, which is great.
I know when I go back and look through Brendan, through his history, he also has a lot of assists as well. So, I mean, he'll dish the ball out and...
Yeah, he tends to like to move the ball a little bit. I mean, he loves to shoot. I mean, he doesn't see a shot he doesn't like, but you know he
can't
loves
score.
Right,
don't shoot.
Yeah, that's right. So I mean, but you know, he's definitely has a great vision as an attackman. That's what you need to do attacking from X is being able to see the whole field and know when you know for you to finish in front of the cage or you know skip pass it over to the backside where someone's wide open. Usually like TJ or Lane Miller or even Dylan. Our middies. So, yeah, I mean, he has a good sense of, you know, passing and catching. So
let's see. Also looking through, Zach Kroger had a goal and an assist. Cole Grillo also had a goal. And then Zach Bedwell also had an assist.
Yeah,
in
so our young guys are scoring a little bit now, too. You know, so our guys that are just getting into the season, getting into varsity, their first experiences are getting some goals. Zach Bedwell had, you know, good goal there Friday night. And he had, I think, a goal and assist yesterday or Saturday.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, overall, it's nice to see that our young guys are chipping in and getting some action as well.
That's easy to go through and look and see who scored. What about other elements of the game, though? I mean, getting on the ground balls, how about defensively, just forcing turnovers?
I mean, if you see when you see our defense this year,
I'm going to watch the tape.
You're gonna see it. So, I mean, I think the first thing you see is the athleticism. You see 6 guys getting after the ground ball, especially with the height of our defense, you know, as far as Conlon being like, you know, 6'6", and Braden Titus being 6'4", and then you've got, you know, Jackson Garrett, who's a freshman, who's like 6'3", and I mean, you have some height there. Then you got Ben Dalmeyer scratching the surface at 6 foot, but I mean, you got big, strong, tall, athletic defenders, and when that ball hits the ground, I mean, they're all going for it. And if, you know, one guy's getting a ground ball and the other 3 are up, you know, getting upfield for outlet passes and running the break. And the nice thing, too, is just the physicality and the effort that they're given, you know, with our senior defender, short stick defenders, and Blake Gillis and Jake Bambauer. I mean, you know, you get a guy like, you know, as far as you know, Blake Gillis, you know, he's causing turnovers or, you know, he's playing very good defense that our slide guy usually would be someone up from the crease, could be Conlon O'Brien, could be, you know, anyone. But nice thing is our on-ball defenders are playing so well positionally that when the slide comes, if it needs to come, when the slide comes, now we're getting to a point where we're double teaming, just super aggressive.
Nice. Right.
So, I mean, we've built this foundation that we can work off of defensively. And so now, you know, we think that if we kind of keep going the way we want to, We're just going to have this balanced attack. You know, we're going to be able to attack on offense with a lot of different guys scoring. We're going to be able to push out and be physical on defense, create the turnovers you need to get over into the offensive end.
As I look through on the cause turnovers, I see Ben Dallmeyer had two. Anthony Bailey had a couple. This is just the Milford game, too.
This is just Milford.
I haven't even gotten into the other.
Yeah, I've got the other. I got Olin Tangi up here. So
okay, good. So you've seen a little bit more of that then as well. So and a 15-4 win through that. Obviously a good start, and to play a team like a Milford, I'm sure they're a program that's up and coming. I don't know anything about Milford.
You know, they had our number a couple years ago. You know, they beat us at their place.
I
think they, you know, a little turnover from players or coaches. You know, I think they're kind of getting back to rebuilding their program. But, you know, it's nice to just, you know, go over and see the things we've done in all of March, you know, start to kind of, you know, show themselves a little bit better for us on the field. And it's nice, and you get in on film and you can start critiquing. And out of two games. I mean, our first two games, I mean, all the coaching staff, you know, right now we're saying it's the little things. You know, now it's we got to clean our passes up, or, you know, we got to clean our off-ball offense or off-ball defense up. You know, we're ball watching a little too much on defense, or, you know, just some little things versus going after two games, either coming out successful or not. But, you know, after two games the last couple of years where it's like, okay, we got to make sure we got this in, and we got to make sure that, you know, we're doing this better. You know, there's more bigger concepts we've had to worry about. Now we're getting to the smaller part because the talent of our players.
And that's earlier in the year then, too.
Yeah, it's earlier in the year. So,
to be able to worry about things like that at this time of the year just shows where things have developed over the years since you've been here now.
Well, yeah, and, you know, looking at our practice plan today, I mean, like, it's just a big fundamental day, you know. And you sit there and you say, okay, it's, you know, second game, you're two games under your belt. You've been doing this for 5-6 weeks now. You know, you don't want it to be a grind. You want the kids to get out there and have fun. You want them to, you know, want to come to practice and want to get better. So for us, you know, coming off of two good wins, you know, we're going to have a fundamental day. We're going to be out there for 90 minutes. We're not going to do much 6-on-6 today. We're just going to get in and focus on the little things and make it fun. And so now we have this balance, you know, instead of like figuring like, man, we're just, you know, trying to push things forward as fast as possible and then maintain it throughout the season. Now it's like, you know what? We have a whole week before Trinity. So we have 2 days of just nothing but fundamentals. We have 2 days of big team concept stuff. You know, we keep it light, we keep it fresh, and we go in Saturday, you know, with fresh legs and a clear mind of what we need to do.
Absolutely. We'll talk about Trinity coming up here in a few minutes. That's coming up Saturday afternoon. Let's go to this past Saturday, though. Victory against Olin Tangi. Went up to Columbus and played up at Fortress Obetz. What was the experience like? Beat Olin Tangi 14-5.
Yeah, the experience was good. You know, we've been up there before with the Midwest A bracket championship game being up there. But you know, overall, it was good. It was great to spotlight Ohio High School lacrosse. And a little cold. You know, I think if the temperature was a little bit better, I think you'd see a lot more fans from Central Ohio just all over kind of hang out. But, you know, definitely saw our fan base, their fan base, and just people in general that enjoy to watch high-level lacrosse show up and watch it and watch two good teams. We started a little slow.
That's what I was going to say. I saw halftime was close.
Started a little slow. We were up by one at half. And, you know, honestly, you know, this team, and we said it at the end of the game, you know, I said, I love this team. I love what you guys are doing. And at halftime, it really wasn't. We're just like, hey, it's up to you guys. I mean, we don't have to tell you anything special.
Right.
There's no adjustment we need to make, you know, in order for us to win. It really just comes down to your execution.
Sure.
And if you execute the way we're asking you to, everything will be fine. And then, I mean, we just opened it up after that. And,
right.
I mean, we got lucky. I mean, we had some things go our way with, you know, some penalties and man-up situations. But overall, you could see the best part, you know, we were talking as coaches on the ride home. I mean, I think the glaring thing for me in, you know, lacrosse, like basketball, is about runs.
Yeah.
And we got on a run. And our run in the third quarter is what helped us, you know, eventually get into the fourth quarter and keep it going. And it was good. I mean, and honestly, with that, you know, you see the energy go from, you know, a little concerned, a little frustration going into halftime to everyone takes, you know, a deep breath and exhales midway through the third quarter. And then you could see the energy in the fourth quarter, like, okay, let's go put this away.
Right.
And that's just, again, you know, a great opportunity for our kids to learn, you know, as we move into the beginning of the season.
as we look through, you were talking offensively earlier. Let's go to the defensive side, and even more so, let's go into the goal and in goaltending as well. So, a couple of you, new goaltenders this
year.
Well,
the best part, yeah. I mean, you know, defensively, we said this kind of in one of the earlier podcasts. You know, we have two young goalies, sophomore goalies, but everyone out in front of them is a senior for the most part. So, you know, we have four defensive long poles or close defenders that are seniors with Braden Titus, with Conlon O'Brien, Ben Dahmeyer, and Reese Boggs. So, I mean, these guys have seen a lot of action on the varsity field, you know, since sophomore year. So having that leadership just makes it easier and makes a sophomore goalie much more relaxed. And then you have Blake Gillis, and then you have Jake Bambauer up at the midfield. It's, you know, a defensive middie. So it's a short stick defensive middie, usually taking the second best you know, offensive player on the field and defending them. But we're doing some stuff a little differently where, you know, you take that long stick middie who, you know, you put a pull up on a middie, usually the guy that kind of generates the offense, usually your best offensive middie. And now we're looking at a kind of a two-way situation. We're using Blake Gillis and putting him on the best middie they have and then pulling the second best guy. So it starts to get a little frustrating for other teams when you're taking, you know, their two best middies away, and then down at the defensive end, down the close defense, usually your best defenders lining up on their best attackmen. So it creates some matchup nightmares, I think, in the future as we get into our season with how strong our defense is. And again, super athletic and, you know, getting down on the ball and getting the ball up to the other end. And as far as our goalies, the nice thing is Saturday, we don't think Ian saw many shots in the second half. You know, and that's a great thing because there's so much going on. Yeah, there's so much going on out in front of him. There's so many caused turnovers that he's not seeing many shots the second half. So, you know, that, and that's a great thing. And you know, the four goals Friday night were just based off of little errors from us. You know, we were ball watching or, you know, something didn't go right. It wasn't like a complete meltdown or breakdown. Like, he didn't have a good save.
Right.
You know, it was more of what happened out front. And then Saturday, same thing. Just, you know, a lot of it kind of came off of our simple mistakes that we can correct through watching film and practice.
So, and at this point now, you go one way or the other because you had Ellis and then also Wagner Schmidt.
Yeah, you got a little bit of time right as well. Right now, we're going to lean on Ian Ellis. Okay. I think that he can just see the ball a little bit better. At this point, you know, he sees the ball a little bit better, making some saves that we need, having a little bit more consistency, a little bit more fundamental in his play. So, yeah, now we're kind of getting into a situation where we're going with one goalie and going from there. So, and coming out of these two games, I mean, liking our defense a lot. So,
and that strong defense, again, a big part of it that we talked about with all those young men. And we'll certainly get a chance to talk a lot about them during the course of the season because our first broadcast, that is coming up Saturday against Trinity. We'll get into that coming up here in a little bit. Want to get back to, and we're going to take a time out here, but when we come back, want to get back and touch on a little bit the Olentangy game, but maybe more so what's going on around Ohio lacrosse and maybe how professional lacrosse and the Ohio Machine are kind of helping stir this whole, I don't even know what to call it. I mean, it's just a great explosion of the sport of lacrosse and at the high school level as well. So we'll talk about that coming up here in just a moment. By the way, big thanks as well to Total Wealth Planning. They are helping sponsor our broadcast, our podcast here. You can contact Rob Lemons at 513-984-6696 or call in, or check out the website, TWP Team, for Total Wealth Planning, TWPteam.com. Again, 513-984-6696. Give a call to Rob Lemons, Total Wealth Planning. More coming up with our lacrosse podcast. Head coach Sean McGinnis. I'm Greg Waddell for ESP Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.
Total Wealth Planning can partner, guide, and educate your family holistically on your financial goals and pursuits. Your dreams are better achieved with a trusted fiduciary like Rob Lemons and his team. Contact Rob today at 513-984-6696. That's 513-984-6696 or on the web at twpteam.com. Total Wealth Planning.
Filling an opening at your company means more than just finding an employee. You're looking for a fit, a match. Robert Half understands that. We know you need someone who can do the work, someone who complements your culture. And of course, you need that someone fast. When it all comes together, it makes for a perfect fit. Satisfaction guaranteed. Robert Half, the matching experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Visit roberthalf.com/radio for more information.
We are back on our Moeller Lacrosse Podcast with Head Coach Sean McGinnis. I'm Greg Wardell. Happy to have you with us as we finally have games to talk about, and that's an exciting thing. The weather looks like it's going to be better for this upcoming weekend
than it
was past Saturday night.
Yeah, 65 and sunny on next Saturday. I'll take that.
You pulling out the shorts?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I haven't got that far yet.
Long ago, when I was coaching up at Worthington Kilbourne, and or maybe even before that, it's just someone, no, it was a college coach. College coach, talks about how, this is his profession and, it's his job. And so he wears, slacks all the time. He wears the khakis.
You wear the khakis.
We've had to go from like the pure cotton khaki, for the last couple of years. We're finding those performance type khakis, little, wick away sweat when you're, it's 90 degrees out and, in May in those playoff games, it gets a little warm. So, funny, I was talking about this the other day with someone else, and we were just kind of talking about head coaches, but the head coach up at Mercyhurst, I'll give a shout out to Chris Ryan from Mercyhurst College, but, he's just a throwback coach. He'd hate to tell me that I compare him to Woody Hayes, but, because he's a big Wolverine fan and stuff like that. But he's, head coach at Mercyhurst College up in Erie. And he's decked out in a shirt and tie and,
really?
And pants every game.
Wow.
And I was listening to this podcast. He was on a podcast over Christmas, and he was retelling the story how, he was, so dehydrated from when they won a national champion, D2 national championship on Memorial Day weekend, because he didn't digress from, his coaching outfit.
Oh, shit.
I don't know necessarily about that, but
it's a good problem to have.
I don't think you'll ever see me in a shirt and tie on the sidelines, but weather gets warmer, we can shed some layers. But I'll tell you this, the long johns and the parkas were in full force Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, Saturday the game at again up in Columbus against Olentangy, Fortress Obetz Field. And for those that haven't been up there or not, the Ohio Machine, that's the professional team in the state of Ohio that plays there. So, what do you think that they've meant to in the impact? To me, it seems like it's such a growing thing, continuing to grow. But for kind of like what we saw with FC Cincinnati this past weekend, where that professional team, the professional team at Cincinnati, and what it's doing for soccer. Do you think you're kind of seeing the same thing?
They're definitely giving legitimacy to lacrosse. They've been in here for well over 10 years. In 2017, they won the world championship for MLL lacrosse. So they've had success. They played their games up in Columbus, up at Ohio Wesleyan for a long time. And then when the city of Obetz redid that complex, they moved down there. So, having a home, having a lacrosse stadium versus, moving, being on a college campus or something has certainly helped. They do a lot to support high school lacrosse. They do a lot to support actually youth lacrosse up in Columbus. As far as even kind of co-sponsoring or having a part of the Central Ohio Youth Lacrosse League, I think it's called. So, it's just good to have a professional organization, help drive the sport and push the sport. And Bear Davis is the head coach. He's like vice president too of the team. So, he does a tremendous job. He's from Hilliard, Ohio. He was born and bred. And so he's back home just really trying to push lacrosse and everything with the Ohio Machine, and it's great. And the nice thing is that for college lacrosse fans, you're watching college lacrosse this spring, and they already had or they're going to have their draft coming up pretty soon. So the best thing, if you're a college lacrosse fan, you're going to start seeing these seniors that are on the field now. You'll see them this summer playing in Ohio, whether it's for the Machine or an incoming team. And what the beauty about that too, Ohio State fans have gotten to see, their hometown Buckeyes stay and play for the Machine.
It's
a nice thing. So, as a fan in general, you can kind of take a piece from where you want. If you like the pro game itself, because there's some different rules than college, or you love seeing these college players come up and play at the pro level, sports like that at that level is really about entertainment. So, what, $40 or $30, you can take your family out, get a couple tickets, some, you know, refreshments, and, you know, have a night out and have some fun. So,
and again, it's helping to grow the sport at a different level and give back to the community up
yeah,
there.
They do a really good thing too. I was thinking they do a senior all-star game, so they'll contact us coming up here in probably somewhere in mid-April, and they'll start, you know, asking us to send names of seniors. Sure. And they'll have the Ohio Machine senior all-star game right before a Machine game in the summertime. And they did something new too. They are offering scholarships for two seniors this year. It's Ohio Machine scholarship.
Really?
So seniors you know, write in, or, you know, coaches can say, I think this person is worthy, and they're
nice.
Giving you know, two scholarships for students for college expenses and stuff like
that. Yeah, that really is giving back to
yeah.
the community, to the program over the whole state though. That's a really neat thing to do. So with that, we were talking kind of about what they've done for the youth lacrosse up there. Down here, let's talk about the Junior Crusader program, yeah. how that's going on. And I actually want to get your thoughts on Velocity. I saw something on Twitter today,
oh, yeah.
too.
Yeah.
So I got my daughter into that last year.
yeah.
So
yeah, well, you know, I think, again, just youth lacrosse is getting, you know, better down here. And there's more exposure and things like that. I mean, I was just kind of surfing Twitter yesterday, and you see, you know, like Kings, you know, junior Kings program, and they're, you know, sending out scores, and, you know, the Blue Jays are sending out scores, and Lakota program sending out scores on social media. So you get to kind of follow things. But, you know, Junior Crusaders, you know, is run by James Rice, and again, started a long time ago with some Moeller fathers. I think Blaine Collison back in the day with some other fathers started the program. It's been running for, I think James's 10th year doing it.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
And it's just been it's evolved into, you know, one of the better programs down here. It's evolved also into a point that it's feeding a lot of their eighth graders are coming over to Moeller. It really wasn't like that when I started. You kind of had a 60-40 split or a 50-50 split. A lot of kids who go to parochial schools or, you know, are deciding to, you know, maybe go to Moeller or a place like that, you know, tend to go down and be a part of the Junior Crusader program. But we're heading over to St. X or some other private schools. And I think just with engaging with the Crusaders a little bit more, offering some opportunities for the players, bringing our players to them,
yep.
and they're kind of seeing, you know, what our high school program's all about. So, you know, this coming eighth grade or the class of 2023, so the current eighth graders who play in the Junior Crusader program, let's see if I do my quick math, there was 25 eighth graders on that team, and 19 of them are coming to Moeller. So the rest are going to go six of them are going to go to St. X, and then a couple back to, you know, or maybe the Summit, I think. So,
sure.
You know, and that's an okay thing. You know, that's, and the whole part of the Junior Crusaders
as long as
is
they're playing.
Right. As long as they're playing,
yeah.
and as long as they're getting better. And, you know, and if a handful of kids go to St. X, you know, well, they're going to get some good players. And, you know, Summit gets a couple players from the Junior Crusaders. They know that they're coming in with, you know, a good IQ of the game and understanding of the game. You know, for us, you know, we'd like to see them all show up, you know, and 19 is a great number, you know. So we, hearing that there's some really good kids in this group coming up that are current eighth graders, some legacies, you know, some younger brothers,
sure.
of
yeah.
some older brothers that have already gone through the program. So, you know, we're excited. It's just, I think it's a good opportunity for kids to learn the game. They just started a K-2 program.
Oh.
So now they got kindergarten, second graders playing. So, you know, for us, for the region, for the area, you know, Junior Crusaders have been a great opportunity for everyone.
And then with the up in the Butler County area, the Velocity is up near the Mason area, and out of Voice of America. I know they play a lot of they have a lot of camps
yeah.
and things up there, and the store, it's up there for folks needing the equipment or whatever. I got into that.
Yeah, so Christy Awalt and Dave Reed, you know, Dave Reed, it's Christy's Dave's daughter, so it's a family business, family-run business. They've been doing it for a long time. They have a storefront, Velocity, in Westchester off of Cox Road. And, you know, they've been doing travel for a long time. travel lacrosse with the girls and boys, and now they're just kind of looking in, saying they want to do a little bit more offering in town. And so I've worked with them last couple summers doing a summer league, and this is a great opportunity for kids who are just starting out learning the game. They have, you know, a couple years experience, and the summer league is, I believe, what, third grade all the way up to 12th grade. So, you know, we've had some success, and they, you know, they're doing some awesome things right now. They have a program called Scoop and Shoot. It's on Sundays, I think, somewhere over in that area, Butler County area. And so they're taking, like, you know, kids like preschool age, and they're just having fun with them. Like yesterday, I was, again, on social media, they're throwing out pictures and videos of kids, like, hitting shamrock balloons, and it's, like, all, like, you know, little sticks and tennis balls. So, I mean, the Velocity does such an awesome job of introducing the Southern Ohio to the sport of lacrosse, and they have a bandwidth all the way up into Dayton, and it's just awesome. So, and Christy does an awesome job with the travel team. She does a great job organizing all this. And Dave is just a great ambassador to getting people to play this great game. So
The exposure.
It's been good. I mean, they do a great service of growing the game here in Cincinnati.
Just the exposure for the kids to get into the program, and I know my daughter loved it. So
yeah,
she'll be able
a lot
to
of fun. You know, you get to, you know, you go learn a few things. You know, and we're gonna kind of overhaul it this year. We're doing them on Sunday nights. We think it's gonna be a good opportunity to get a lot of people there on Sunday. So we're gonna go Sunday nights, and you know, kids come in, they learn a little lacrosse, they get a little instruction, something specific to do that night, and then they go out and play. And I mean, there's nothing wrong playing lacrosse.
So. Well, I mean, my exposure is only a few years into it, and fell in love with it. Absolutely love it. So let's look ahead to this week coming up for your guys. Just one game this week, and very excited. We'll have the broadcast on ESP Media from Moeller against Trinity coming up here this weekend.
Yeah, you know, going into year six now, trying to get a little smarter with the scheduling. And I mean, it's hard to get all these games in, especially when you have to play a mixture in Cincinnati, and then you go to Kentucky to play a little bit, or you go over to Indiana, or you go, you know, all the way up to Cleveland. So it's hard to get weekend games in, and sometimes you got to do those Friday, Saturday night games. But what we try to do this year is slowly get into the season. Don't jump in right away and have, you know, a Wednesday game, a Friday, Saturday game, or, you know, play two back-to-back weekends of, like, Friday, Saturday. So, you know, having a week to prepare for Trinity is a good thing for us. I mean, it's a game that we went down in a driving, you know, snow, ice, rain, whatever you want to call it. It was all present
miserable
that day. And so we went down and played in a driving rainstorm, really cold, and wound up beating them. And I think that was, you know, good for us getting into the meat of our schedule last year. So, you know, we play them really tough. They're just like us. They're a bunch of hardworking kids that, you know, are athletic and physical. So, you know, I believe they did lose a little bit of talent last year, but bringing back a pretty solid defense and a really good goalie. So, you know, we're going to have to kind of play, you know, that into our game plan, as far as, you know, maybe on these riding situations, is to, you know, kind of get it a little kind of create some scenarios that it makes it hard for them to clear the ball so we can get the ball back on offense. You know, hearing that their offense is a little young this year, so that might bode well, having, again, senior defenders out there, putting a little bit more pressure on, you know, some younger guys playing varsity lacrosse. So, you know, overall, we play them pretty well. They've gotten our number, you know, a couple times, but, you know, I feel, you know, we have, you know, 5 days of great practice, and we're going to go in that game with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it's going to be at the Jerry this Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And then
home opener.
Home opener. There you go. And that game early enough, fingers crossed, that there'll also be a basketball game later that night.
Yeah, we, you know, we're hoping. We learned, again, last year, we've learned that the, was it the third week in March, you know, for Moeller basketball and Moeller lacrosse. Moeller lacrosse has to kind of, you know, schedule savvy so, you know, that kids can get up to Columbus and watch the basketball team. And, you know, we just wish Coach Kramer and the basketball program just so much success over this season and a lot of luck these next two games. And, You know, I think they're going to keep crusading and make a little history.
It's going to be exciting. Cleveland St. Ed, or Lakewood St.
Ed. Yeah.
I mean, that's one of those great rivalries. Yeah. It's a historic traditional rivalry.
Yeah, you know, you got two powerhouse Catholic high school sport programs.
So many sports, exactly.
You know, all over the board and, you know, coming after each other. And it's, I'm sure the fan bases will be good there too. So
yeah, whether
I'm sure Ohio High School Athletics loves it when, you know, two programs like that, you know, are in the Final Four or a championship.
Yep.
The turnstiles will be spinning and, you know, a lot of butts in the seats. So I'm sure it's good all the way around.
Absolutely. So we're hoping to have a doubleheader broadcast on Saturday afternoon, lacrosse in the afternoon, and then Richard Skinner and Kent McKenzie doing the game on Saturday night doing the basketball. So that will take care of itself. The lacrosse, though, we know it will take care of itself because we will be doing that. That'll be on right here on ESPN Media, 2:00. And then our next podcast, we'll do it again next Monday. We'll recap that pass of the game on Saturday against Trinity.
So, sounds great.
Sounds good. Keep moving along and keep, I guess, at this point of the year, just getting these guys ready to go for the long haul.
You know, it's just a matter of just, you know, kind of keep moving forward. And we keep talking about just trusting the process and, you know, every day getting a little bit better, every day just kind of pushing each other a little bit more. And we talked a lot about the connectivity of the team. You know, it's better to work on the connectivity now versus, you know, you start to get on those runs, you start to get on those win streaks, or you're having a great end of the year into the playoffs. It's like, in order for us to play at our highest level at the end of the year, we got to be connected now. So, and that just starts in practice this afternoon.
Well, there you go. Good practice all week long, and Trinity on Saturday afternoon at 2:00.
So, yeah, thanks.
All right, appreciate it. That is Sean McGinnis. I'm Greg Wardell. Again, a big thanks out to Total Wealth Planning. Contact them at 513-984-6696. Ask for Rob Lemons. Appreciate the support. Or check them out on the website, twpteam.com. For Sean McGinnis, I'm Greg Wardell. Thanks for listening to the Mueller Lacrosse Podcast on ESPN Media, powered by Sidearm Sports.